This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, January 23rd, 2017. Coming up this hour.
Gold rises, treasury yields fall, and the dollar weakens following the inauguration of President Donald Trump.
Yahoo is said to be facing a probe from the SEC over its data breaches.
J.P. Morgan could move 2,500 jobs from London as the U.K. seeks to leave the EU's single market.
It will be a busy Monday for President Donald Trump. He will hold his first meeting as president with Republicans and Democrats in Congress. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. It'll be the Patriots and the Falcons in Super Bowl 51 in Houston. They both won conference championship games rather easily over the Steelers and Packers. Rangers won in overtime. Islanders lost in overtime.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Bentley University. What do developing apps at Facebook and analyzing data at Biogen have in common? An MBA from Bentley University, where you'll explore innovation and leadership, because business is everywhere. Prepare here.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, lower. S&P E-mini futures down 4 points. Dow E-mini futures down 18. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 11. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. So is the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.46%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.18%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.4% or 76 cents to $52.45 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $8 to $12.1290 an ounce. And the euro at $1.0739.
Equities in Asia kicked off trading for the week today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has the latest from our Hong Kong bureau.
Most Asian markets closed higher Monday despite a mixed start as investors responded to the inauguration of President Trump and after the Chinese central bank pumped liquidity into the system over the weekend to help ease a cash crunch ahead of the Lunar New Year holiday. The Shanghai Composite rose by 0.4%. Stocks in Shenzhen were up almost 1%. Stocks in Hong Kong, meanwhile, fluctuated, and shares in Taiwan surged to their highest close since June 2015. China's yuan, meanwhile, halted a two-day decline in Asian trade to trade near a two-month high after the PBOC strengthened the currency's fix and the dollar dropped. However, the dollar's weakness boosted the yen that weighed on Japanese equities, the Nikkei 225 dropping more than 1%, its first loss in four sessions. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. The dollar weakness comes on the heels of President Trump's inauguration address, which offered very few details on fiscal policy while fueling concerns about increased trade protectionism.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first.
The U.S. dollar has extended losses since Friday's speech. The Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index is currently at 100.39, and the yen has strengthened to 113.63 against the dollar.
Meantime, U.S. Treasury yields have also fallen due to a lack of specifics in Friday's speech, which is fanning doubts about the feasibility of President Trump's economic plan. Adam Posen is president of the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
They can't pay for what they're currently proposing. It will add to the U.S. debt in the very short term. But we may get 2 years, possibly 3 years of a bit more growth. And since we're close to full employment anyways, we'll probably get some wage growth. So it's not all bad. It's just unsustainable.
Peterson Institute for International Economics President Adam Posen says we're likely headed for a boom-bust cycle. Meantime, Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley Securities Senior Market Economist predicts the yield on 10-year U.S. Treasuries will fall to 2.1% by the end of March. Checking the yield on the 10-year right now, it is currently at 2.4651.
Uncertainty about Mr. Trump's presidency is also causing gold to rise this morning. Bullion rallied to the highest level in 2 months as investors shun risk and embrace the metal over the dollar. COMEX gold currently trading at $1,212.60 an ounce, and so far this year, it's advanced in every trading session but two.
In corporate news this morning, Yahoo is said to be facing a Securities and Exchange Commission probe over its multiple data breaches. The Wall Street Journal says regulators are investigating whether the company should have told investors about the breaches sooner. The SEC has reportedly requested documents and opened a probe into Yahoo's announcement of the cyber attacks.
Meanwhile, Yahoo is set to announce earnings results after the close of U.S. trading today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
The consensus among analysts who cover the internet company is that Yahoo will post an adjusted profit of 21 cents a share on revenue of nearly $909 million. Yahoo gets a dozen buy ratings, 19 hold ratings, and no sell ratings. Bloomberg Intelligence says investors may be more interested in updates related to Verizon's proposed acquisition of Yahoo and on plans for stakes in Alibaba and Yahoo Japan after the deal closes. Experts say last year's data breaches at Yahoo probably won't affect the takeover deal unless Verizon can prove that the hacking caused long-term damage to the company's earnings potential. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. We're learning more today about the flaw that caused Samsung's Note 7 smartphones to explode last year. The company says faulty batteries were to blame. Bloomberg's Rosalind Chin has details from our Hong Kong bureau.
There were flaws in both the design and manufacturing of Galaxy Note 7 batteries. The investigation found electrodes in the initial batch of batteries came into contact with each other, causing a short circuit. These were made by an affiliate called Samsung SDI. But then replacement batteries, this time made by Amperex technology, also triggered overheating and fires, but due to a different defect. South Korea's biggest company took full legal responsibility for the recall and said it's focused on learning from its mistakes. The next product in its Galaxy S line is likely to be launched in March or April this year. Rosalind Chin, Bloomberg, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Rosalind. And Brexit reportedly has J.P. Morgan considering moving 2,500 jobs out of London. That's according to a Polish business publication, which says the firm is considering relocating staff to Germany, Poland, and other Central European countries. J.P. Morgan will reportedly make a final decision later this year. Futures this morning are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 3.5 points. Dow E-mini futures down 12. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 10. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield 2.47%. And the euro's at $1.0731. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And that, Karen, brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. The new president gets down to work. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that and more now. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. It will be Donald Trump's first meeting as president with Capitol Hill lawmakers. President Trump plans to meet today with Republicans and Democrats in Congress. The White House says that on January 31st, Trump will meet with Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto to discuss immigration and renegotiating NAFTA. The White House has no intention of releasing President Donald Trump's tax returns. That's according to the consular to the president, Kellyanne Conway. She says the tax issue was litigated all through the election and people didn't care. Meanwhile, Conway also commented about Saturday's angry statement from Trump's press secretary. Sean Spicer said the media underreported the size of Friday's inauguration crowd. Conway on NBC's Meet the Press.
You're saying it's a falsehood, and they're giving Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says President Trump only spoke to his supporters during the inaugural speech. Schumer on ABC's This Week.
He's trying to use populist rhetoric to cover up a right-wing agenda. If you look at his cabinet, they are far from the populism that he talked about.
Schumer also said Sunday that Democrats have bipartisan support for proposed legislation to limit President Trump's ability to reduce sanctions on Russia. At least 18 people are dead, 14 on Sunday alone, in powerful storms that blew through the South. Authorities say it was apparently winter twisters that left 14 dead in South Georgia. Mobile homes in Cook County were destroyed. President Trump talked about the deadly storms in the Southeast.
I just spoke with Governor Nathan Deal of Georgia. Great state, great people. Florida affected, Alabama affected by the tornadoes, and just expressed our sincere condolences for the lives taken.
Trump spoke yesterday during the White House swearing-in ceremony for senior staff. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts. in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:09 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Super Bowl 51 in 2 weeks in Houston, New England versus Atlanta. It'll be the Patriots' 9th Super Bowl. That's the most of any team. They'll try to win their 5th. The Falcons have never won, have only been once before. They went 18-30 over the previous 3 seasons, but this year the Falcons put together an offense that scored 540 points, the 7th most in NFL history. And in the NFC Championship game, the last game ever at the Georgia Dome, that offense was on display.
Waiting the shotgun snap. It comes in chest high. Fakes the give to Freeman. Sets the throw. Fires over the middle. Jones with a catch at the 40. A flag down as Jones goes to midfield. Jones steps through a tackle at the 40. A stiff arm at the 30. Fighting down the sideline to the 20. To the 10. And high stepping in for the touchdown. 73 yards for Julio Jones.
Westwood won the call. That came a 1:09 into the second half after Jones had scored with 3 seconds left in the first half. It made it 31-0. The final was 44-21 over Green Bay. Matt Ryan playing like an MVP. 27 of 38, 392 yards, 4 TDs. He ran for another. Jones with 180 yards. The AFC game, little closer, but Pittsburgh missed a field goal, had a costly fumble in the first half, trailed 17-9, and then the Patriots put it away with 16 straight points. They beat the Steelers 36-17, with Tom Brady going 32 of 42, 384 yards, 3 TDs, 2 to the unheralded Chris Hogan from Monmouth College in New Jersey. The Patriots are a 3-point favorite to beat the Falcons in Houston. In Detroit, Rangers and Red Wings scoreless all the way until a JT Miller goal 2 minutes into overtime. Rangers, 30th win of the season, 1-0, 21 saves for Henrik Lundqvist. Islanders down 2-0, battled back but lost in OT to Philadelphia 3-2. Flyers won on a Claude Giroux goal. College hoops, Seton Hall beat St. John's 86-73. Siena down Manhattan 81-66. Serena Williams has advanced to the quarterfinals of the Australian Open. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thanks, John. Other sports news this morning. Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown is said to have landed a contract with Facebook in the high six figures. That's according to a report from NFL.com. Brown streamed video from the Steelers' locker room via Facebook Live last week following their victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. Brown may face a fine from the team for that move. S&P E-mini futures down 2 points, 0.1%. This is Bloomberg. And how are oil prices doing right now? West Texas Intermediate crude is down almost 1.5% to $52.44 a barrel. We'll talk to Christopher Sell of the Bloomberg Briefs Oil Buyer's Guide on where oil might be headed. That's straight ahead.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Donald Trump's first full business day as president is packed. He'll meet executives from manufacturing companies in the morning and labor leaders in the afternoon. In between, he signs executive orders related to trade and labor. OPEC's deal to cut production is sticking so far. According to a meeting in Vienna over the weekend, cartel members and Russia are 80% of the way to cutting the targeted 1.8 million barrels a day. Fourth quarter GDP is the economic highlight this week. Economists expect Friday's report to show growth eased to 2.2% from 3.5%. And a family in Britain is believed to be the first in the nation to have 6 generations alive at the same time. That's according to The Guardian, which says the Hanson family has 44 living members, ranging in ages from 103 to just less than a month. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Chris Kirkham, thank you. And futures are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 3 points. Dow E-mini futures down 10. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 9. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.4% or 74 cents to $52.48 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $6.90 to $12.1180 an ounce. The euro, $1.0733. The yen, 113.69. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, talks on Syria have begun in Kazakhstan amid hopes the ceasefire can be strengthened and a path can be cleared for delivery of humanitarian aid. Iran says that preserving the tenuous ceasefire is the most important issue in talks between the Syrian government and the opposition in Kazakhstan. Russia and Turkey organized the talks. In sports, it will be the New England Patriots against the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51. The Patriots slammed the Pittsburgh Steelers 36-17 to win the AFC title. Earlier, the Falcons rolled over the Green Bay Packers 44-21 to win the NFC title. In the NHL, the Rangers won in overtime over the Red Wings. The Islanders lost in overtime to the Flyers. The Bruins lost. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, on this day in 1957, we were introduced to one of the most iconic toys ever. Those plastic discs known as Frisbees made its debut in the mainstream by Wham-O.
Whammo. The Pluto Platter, it was first called.
Even before that, they were throwing pie tins in the air.
Which is where Frisbee came from, I think.
Right.
There was a pie company, right, that was called Frisbee.
And then, it was sold to Whammo later, and then they misspelled Frisbee. But, you know, as you know, the rest is history.
It is.
Yeah, lost a lot of those on roofs. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
And let's just set this up now with the current oil prices. West Texas Intermediate crude is down 1.3%, or 75 cents a barrel, to $52.49. Brent crude lower by 1.1% to down 66 cents a barrel to $54.83. Christopher Sell writes for the Bloomberg Brief Oil Buyer's Guide. Chris, I'm going to come right at you out of the gate with a tough question. How much of this latest decline in oil prices is the rig count, and how much might be due to concerns that Donald Trump's America First declaration could mean a trade war with China?
I'm gonna come back at you, and I think it's fair to say I'm pretty confident it's more the rig count, to be honest.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know, the price actually rose over the weekend because we got that positive news out of Vienna with the OPEC monitoring committee, but we can go to that later if we wish. But the rig count, they boosted the rig count by almost the largest amount put week on week in 4 years. I mean, I think personally is the big sole reason why the oil prices is sort of taking a bit of a hit today. I mean, oil rigs rose 29 in the week to 551, which is, I think, it's the most since April 2013 when it rose by 30. So there's no denying rigs are being put back to work. EMPs are doing more exploring, more producing, and we're going to see this slowly coming through in the US crude production numbers, which I think at the moment is around 8.9. That is what is putting a bit of a handbrake on the price.
Okay, as you mentioned, how are things going for OPEC these days?
Well, you know, we've got this dance, haven't we, between OPEC and the US, and on Sunday we had Saudi, Kuwait, and Qatar. Algeria and Venezuela, they met counterparts from non-OPEC nations, Russia and Oman, and they sort of sat down and agreed, basically, on a way to monitor these oil cuts, which have been, so rightly flagged. We're not going to know exactly how much people have cut until we get the official OPEC numbers, and that will be on February the 13th, because let's remember that the actual agreements began from January the 1st. So, we're getting all this very positive news. We heard also that, the 80% of the cuts are already being made, which, that's great. But, we can't prove anything, and no one's going to be able to claim that officially until these OPEC figures come out on February the 13th for the end of January numbers. Then we'll officially know what is happening. But all the signs are that people are doing, seemingly, without being too cynical, their very best to meet these cuts which have been required from that November 30th meeting.
Very short amount of time here, but let me ask you, what's the significance that Russia has overtaken Saudi Arabia as China's top oil supplier?
Very interesting, and that's just exactly typifies, I think, why Saudi is so concerned about his own export numbers. It's significant. These two are vying for the Asian market. The Asian market is like the final growth market available. Saudis lost out in 2016, as you said, Russia overtook it for the first time ever. That is significant. I mean, Russians boosted its supply by 24% year on year. So Saudi wasn't able to meet that, and Asia took the Russian crude. And I think that's why maybe after 6 months this deal potentially might not continue.
Okay, Christopher Sell from the Bloomberg Brief. Thank you very much. You can read Chris's analysis and other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletter. Sign up now at BloombergBriefs.com, or for terminal customers, use the function Brief Go. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Escape the confines of the everyday in an SUV powerful enough to challenge interstates and dirt roads alike. Visit your local tri-state area retailer for special offers on the 2016 Range Rover Sport.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Brexit reportedly has J.P. Morgan considering moving 2,500 jobs out of London. That's according to a Polish business publication, which says the firm is considering relocating staff to Germany, Poland, and other Central European countries.
We get a full plate of U.S. earnings reports this week, and Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the details.
Analysts are forecasting income at S&P 500 firms expanded 4.3% in the fourth quarter, with banks, utility, and technology companies experiencing the fastest growth. Stephen Wood is chief market strategist at Russell Investments.
We think earnings, again, will do okay. They'll probably come in into estimates. The economy is doing okay, so we don't have a recession call. We don't have a look out below call, but it's going to be a big stretch for earnings to come into these valuations.
And among the companies reporting earnings this week, Google parent Alphabet, Microsoft, 3M, Johnson & Johnson, and Boeing. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Tale of two rivals. According to people familiar with the matter, LG has reached an agreement to supply television displays to its rival, Samsung. LG will replace Sharp and Foxconn as supplier to the world's biggest TV maker. The agreement would be a first for the longtime South Korean rivals.
And speaking of Foxconn, the company is considering investing $7 billion in a U.S. factory, a major investment for Apple's main manufacturer that could create as many as 50,000 American jobs. According to Reuters, Foxconn is considering a joint investment with Sharp, but details have yet to be hammered out.
And time now for the Volatility Index Report, brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City Cash Flow Real Estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net. The VIX fell 9.7% Friday to close at 11.54. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are higher by 0.2%. Higher by 3.8%, I should say, at 11.98. That's this morning's Volatility Report.
Futures this morning are lower. S&P E-mini futures down about 3 points. Dow E-mini futures down 9. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 9. The DAX in Germany's down 0.4%. CAC in Paris down 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.46%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.18%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.5% or 78 cents to $52.44 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $7.50. to $12.1240 an ounce. The euro, $1.0732. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. The new president has said he considers this his first real day in office. Bloomberg's Michael Barr now with what's on his schedule. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump is planning to meet with bipartisan congressional leaders at the White House tonight. That's according to a person familiar with the meeting. It will be Trump's first formal meeting with Capitol Hill leaders as president. It's believed some issues that will be discussed will include repealing and replacing the nation's health care law and passing tax reform. Meanwhile, Trump may take actions regarding trade as early as today and immigration later this week. That's according to White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus. He spoke on Fox News Sunday. He also says the media is trying to delegitimize President Trump as president.
The media from day one has been talking about delegitimizing the election, talking about the Russians, talking about everything you can imagine except the fact that we need to move this country forward.
President Trump has invited Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to a meeting in Washington next week. The White House has stated it plans to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas, through an interpreter, says he thinks such a move would destroy the peace process.
We say to Mr. Trump that we hope he will not move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem, from the Israeli point of view, is a united city, and this is not correct and illegal.
South Georgia and southern Mississippi are trying to put a deadly weekend of storms in the rearview mirror, but 18 deaths, including 14 in South Georgia alone, left families reeling. Seven of the Georgia deaths were from an apparent twister that tore through a trailer park. Weather officials say 39 possible tornadoes were reported from early Saturday into last night. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged, sir. It's now 6:35 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. The Patriots have made a 3-point favorite to beat the Falcons in Super Bowl 51 in Houston. Both teams won their conference championship games easily at home in Atlanta. Last game ever at the Georgia Dome. It was 24-0 at halftime, and then Matt Ryan and Julio Jones connected on a 73-yarder. It was 31-0. Atlanta beat Green Bay 44-21. It's just their second Super Bowl ever. The entire city of Atlanta has only won one major sports title. The 1995 Braves won the World Series. That's been it. Going to the Super Bowl, nothing new for the Patriots. It's their record 9th, 7 of those with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And only the Giants have figured out how to beat the Pats at the Super Bowl. They've done it twice. Pats took the AFC title game from Pittsburgh, helped by a trick play.
Deion Lewis in the backfield from the 34-yard line of Pittsburgh. Brady under center with the first down and 10. The snap spins to his left, hands off to Lewis, flips it back to Brady. It's a flea flicker. Brady winds up. Long pass over the shoulder, catch at the goal line. Touchdown, Hogan, on the near side. He beat double coverage. What a play. Terrific throw by Brady.
And Westwood won. A year where they lost Rob Gronkowski to injury and where Brady was suspended the first four games, New England is 16-2. A 36-17 rout of the Steelers and a win in Houston would give Belichick and Brady five Super Bowl titles. That'd be the most for coach and quarterback. In Detroit, scoreless hockey until JT Miller, with a minute 56 into overtime, gave the Rangers 1-0 win. Philadelphia ended the Islanders' three-game win streak 3-2. That in OT. College hoops, Seton Hall down St. John's 86-73. Rafael Nadal's up a set on Guillaume Monfils at the Australian Open. And Yordano Ventura, the Kansas City Royals, has died in a car accident in the Dominican Republic. He was 25. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stash. That way, Bob.
John, thanks very much. It's now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
The worst levels of air pollution are generally found in cities of the developing world, where headlong growth stirs up construction dust and energy providers still burn a lot of coal. But London's air is dangerously polluted too, with concentrations of nitrogen dioxide in some parts of the city measuring among the highest in the world. It's a testament to the polluting power of buses, cars, and trucks, and the need for governments to keep them operating within limits. The only way to clear the air is to tighten emission standards and drastically reduce the number of polluting vehicles. London's mayor, Sadiq Khan, plans to give cab drivers incentives to upgrade to cleaner vehicles, replace diesel double-decker buses, and speed up the introduction of ultra-low emission zones. But the national government needs to act too, if only because the problem is not confined to London. Courts have twice ruled its air quality plans insufficient. Britain's government will now have to move quickly to create clean vehicle incentives, accelerate the introduction of clean air zones around the country, and introduce requirements for more accurate diesel emissions testing. Cities can grow cleaner, but it requires firm limits on cars, trucks, and traffic. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Now your Bloomberg Green Business Report, and let's stay on the subject of clean vehicles. California's utilities are asking for more than $1 billion to spend on electric car charging stations as part of their contribution to meeting the state's goal of getting 1.5 million zero-emissions vehicles on the road by 2025. Edison International's Southern California Edison is asking regulators for permission to collect $570 million from customers over 5 years to, among other things, support about 1,800 charging stations for electric trucks. PG&E requested $253 million, and Sempra Energy's San Diego Gas and Electric is applying for $246 million for similar programs. The utility industry is looking to electric car charging as one of the few areas of growth, as increased use of rooftop solar panels and energy-efficient appliances weaken power sales. At the same time, California is moving forward with plans to cut greenhouse gas emissions and fight global warming, despite President Donald Trump's promises to kill similar efforts on the federal level. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Terra Firma Capital Partners Chairman Guy Hand sat down with us to discuss the state of private equity following Brexit. He spoke to Bloomberg's Guy Johnson.
Britain's going to have to continue to borrow money, and we won't have the fact that we're within the European Union, so people will put a risk premium on that. Interest rates will, over the long term, start to go up. That will lead to bankruptcies, and it will lead to opportunities. So, sadly, and this is always one of the strange things about business, I think it's probably bad for the majority of people and bad for the country, but I think for my business it's probably going to be good.
How big will the opportunity be? You talked about a 30% reduction in wages. Kind of, give me some other numbers.
Well, when I say a 30% reduction in wages, I'm talking about in real terms over 20 years.
Status, yeah.
Over 20 years.
Right.
So that's a very, very small change each year. It's similar to a frog getting boiled. Yeah. This is not going to be quick. It's going to be very slow.
Terra Firma Capital Partners Chairman Guy Hans speaking to Bloomberg's Guy Johnson. S&P E-mini futures currently down 4 points. That's a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices unchanged at this hour. The yield at 2.4670%. This is Bloomberg. And the Bloomberg View is brought to you by Benzel Busch. The Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned event is on now with exceptional finance rates. Hurry, offers end soon. Benzel Busch is America's premier automotive dealership in Englewood, New Jersey.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Red Hat. Don't let your legacy IT systems cost you money, innovation, and a place at the digital table of the future. You can change your systems and the economics of IT with software from Red Hat. See how at redhat.com. And futures are moving lower this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. We are seeing modest losses in the U.S. futures today, with Dow futures currently down 12 points, S&P's dropped 3.5, and Nasdaq futures declined by 10. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.47%. Japan fell 1.3% overnight, while Europe is also trading lower this morning, led by losses in the U.K. Regarding earnings this morning, look for Halliburton to report shortly and McDonald's around 8 a.m. In deal news, Pinnacle Financial to buy BNC Bancorp in a $1.9 billion deal, and Kate Spade is said to attract interest from both Coach and Michael Kors. In other news, Apple supplier Foxconn is considering building a $7 billion display plant in the U.S. And finally, some of the key Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Cabot Oil raised to overweight at Barclays. CSX raised to outperform at BMO. MetLife raised to buy over at Deutsche Bank. Dish Network raised to overweight at Morgan Stanley. And Verizon cut to market perform at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, at least 18 people are dead, 14 on Sunday alone in powerful storms that blew through the South. Authorities say it was apparently winter twisters that left 14 dead in South Georgia. 7 people died at a mobile home park in Cook County. Roughly half of the 40 homes there were leveled. China will spend more than a year reinforcing its internet censorship. A Chinese technology regulator has announced a campaign to root out services that allow people in the country to circumvent the rules. In sports, in the NHL, the Rangers won in overtime against the Red Wings. The Islanders lost in overtime to the Flyers. The Bruins lost. In the NBA, the Warriors won. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, the question of the day at the water cooler and for the next 2 weeks will be, which team will win the Super Bowl? It will be the New England Patriots against the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51. The Patriots slammed Pittsburgh 36-17 to win the AFC title, and Bob Falcons rolled over Green Bay 44-21 to win the NFC title.
The Patriots, you say. Surprise, surprise. Huh?
9 times they've gone to the Super Bowl, more than any other team. That's a trivia fact you can whip out on someone today. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg View. Donald Trump began his presidency the same way he campaigned for the job, literally. He ended his inaugural address with the same riff he used in his convention speech and campaign rallies. Much of what he had to say was recycled campaign rhetoric. This was no doubt catnip for Trump's strongest supporters. It was not, however, presidential. Or I suppose we should say now, traditionally presidential. New presidents typically reach out to the entire nation. Trump had nothing for Democrats, and little even for those mainstream conservative Republicans who voted for him despite being less than enthusiastic. Trump is not only entitled to articulate the themes he campaigned on and intends to govern with, but it is appropriate that he do so. Usually, however, presidents broaden their language in an attempt to be more inclusive. Trump did very little of that. All that said, what matters more is getting his administration up and fully functional as quickly as possible. He started with a missed opportunity. He'll have others, but the clock is running now. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time.
Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
There's money in loaning money to small businesses. Funding Circle brings investors together with small businesses in the form of loans. They've loaned out about $3 billion to 25,000 small businesses. They do term loans from 1 to 5 years with interest rates starting at about 5.5%. And from the perspective of co-founder Sam Hodges, it is an underserved market.
The borrower we focus on is that, you know, your average corner coffee shop. It's an accountant. It's, you know, all the small businesses we all interact with every single day and who, frankly, has been very poorly served by banks for quite some time. Our average loan size is a little over $100,000.
Hodges sees huge opportunity in small business lending. Funding Circle has gotten another round of funding itself, a $100 million equity infusion. They'll use the money to invest in their platform and build out the brand. Right now, Hodges says, they are just scratching the surface of a potential $250 billion loan origination business. That's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thank you, John Tucker. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the Senate Foreign Relations Committee set to vote this afternoon on Rex Tillerson to be Secretary of State. After, Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham said Sunday they will vote for President Donald Trump's nominee. That appears to open the way for Senate confirmation. And there has been no Senate Democrat who has said they will support Mr. Tillerson. Later this morning, the Heritage Foundation continues a series of presentations by former House Speaker Newt Gingrich on understanding Donald Trump and, quote, the phenomenon of Trumpism. And the new president is set to meet with congressional leaders from both parties to discuss his agenda as he enters his first official week in the White House. Trump has said that he considers today to be his first real day in office. And joining us now from the White House is Bloomberg's Tolu Olurunopa, joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Tolu, it was a weekend focused on multiple falsehoods and what White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway insisted were alternative facts and perhaps the opening salvo in a war with the news media. I was going to ask if Trump's aides are concerned that this is a distraction from the business at hand. And then I started thinking that we asked that question a lot during the campaign, and they didn't start calling him Teflon Don for nothing. So let me cast this question in a different way. They apparently see this as a winning issue. What are you hearing from the West Wing?
Well, we heard it from President Trump himself when he went to meet with CIA leaders. He said, I have a running war with the media, and it's something he wears as a chip on his shoulder. He's a bit proud of it. And he's directed his press team to not take the media lightly and to really take it take it to the media, and it seems to be something that they're relishing. We've heard them, a number of Trump officials on the Sunday shows, including Kellyanne Conway, basically saying that they're not going to stand by and allow the what they believe biased media to go without getting a response from them. So we can expect a very combative relationship with the West Wing and the media and the reporters that cover them based on that first press conference that we had a couple of days ago.
So on the one hand, they're complaining that the media is distracting from the real message. On the other hand, they're making this the issue.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions about whether or not they're doing this on purpose, whether they're trying to obfuscate from other things that maybe, you know, the speech didn't get the rave reviews that they wanted, and there's this huge protest that happened the day after the inauguration. But it does seem like they're focusing a lot on the small issues and issues that are taking them away from some of the major parts of their policy positions, including, you know, executive orders on Obamacare and the tax reform that they want to do. There are a lot of major issues that they're not talking about. They seem to be focusing much more on some of these small, some would say petty issues such as crowd size and media bias.
So let us focus then on the schedule today. What is his, as he's called it, his first real day in office? What's on the schedule?
Yeah, it's going to be a busy day. He's going to start off meeting with a number of executives. It's a manufacturing-focused meeting. He's going to meet with Andrew Laveris, who's the CEO of Dow Chemical and the chairman of his American Manufacturing Council, and several other executives. And then he's going to go straight to signing a number of executive orders. We're told that those orders will be specifically focused on job creation, manufacturing, and helping the economy. He's also going to meet with a number of union leaders, also focused on manufacturing. And then later in the day, he's going to meet with leaders of Congress and have a meeting with Paul Ryan. He wants to show that he has a close relationship with the lawmakers who are going to be needed to push through his very ambitious agenda.
Bloomberg's Tolu Olorunipa joining us from the White House. Thank you very much. And you can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And Tolu has joined us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line, Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Coming up, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura, and David is here now to tell us what's ahead.
Hey, Bob, as you and Tolu were just discussing, since the last surveillance, we have inaugurated a new president. We'll focus on market reaction to that today with Dean Kernet, the CEO of Macro Risk Advisors, David Harrow of Harris Associates, and Michael Collins of PGIM Fixed Income. And President Trump has promised to repeal Obamacare, and he's made some steps toward doing that. Mike Levitt, the former Secretary of Health and Human Services, will join us, along with Bob Moritz, the global chairman of PwC, and Austin Goolsbee, former chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, now a professor at the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business.
David Gura with Tom Keene coming up in just a couple of minutes on Bloomberg Surveillance. A check of the markets now from Karen Moscow.
Yeah, we're watching earnings this morning. Bob, Halliburton crossing the Bloomberg. It reported a fourth quarter loss as oil prices recover from the worst slump in a generation. But excluding certain items, profit was 4 cents a share, and that was more than the 2 cent average of analysts we surveyed. S&P E-mini futures are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 3 points. Dow E-mini futures down 12. And NASDAQ E-mini futures down 10. And NYMEX crude oil moving lower today as well. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.